Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I've had lots of thoughts about this Zoom program. We've talked about the Vimalakirti Sutra before. The beginning of that sutra. The Buddha is giving a speech, a talk, and at some point he points out to the assembly up in the heavens. He shows all these different worlds that are listening to the talk in all these different realms, and you know, we've had people here. So many people last night from Arcata, and we've had people from Copenhagen, Denmark, and Canada. It's like the Vimalakirti Sutra from all the Dharma realms. People are listening all at once. So it's a great image, this Zoom. I thought of Dogen's fascicle, the painting of a rice cake. That saying, the painting of a rice cake does not nourish. But Dogen says, actually everything is just a painting of a rice cake. Let me let a few people in from the waiting room here. They'll be logging on, but the painting of a rice cake asks us: is this virtual zazen that we're doing? Is this painting of zazen on the screen? Is that real zazen or is it not? Is this a real sangha that we see on the screen in front of us, or is this just a painting of a sangha that we see on the screen? So there's a don't get me going. I've got a million of these thoughts that I've been thinking about this virtual practice of ours that I find so dear to me now. And it's really quite the lifeline for me and many others. I've been told. But let me tell you that I've been working with a koan. This koan is my life. The koan. What did Henny Youngman say? That's no koan. That's my life. Here comes Stan and Joyce. Let them log in. So this koan, which is my life, says something like, here comes Ken. This koan is something like, how can I save all beings while staying here in my room? That's our koan. Um, uh, we've talked about this koan in the Sunday morning classes. We're going to talk about it in one of our priest meetings as well. I've put it another way. What confidence do I have that this bodhisattva practice of mine is reflecting in a helpful way onto the suffering of these times? That's my koan that I've been working with. And maybe, as I thought about it, it could be the koan that I've looked at time and again for 25 years. I think I've told you all the story of going to one of my first sesshins with the Santa Cruz Sangha and Catherine, when we all used to go up to Jikoji, and there on this kind of cold, rainy morning, sitting there thinking, what am I doing here? What is the value of this sitting in the cold in this cross-legged, uncomfortable position? And over the course of those days, with Catherine's encouragement, she was really able to convince me that this practice, this bodhisattva practice of ours, is the most important thing we can be doing. And I think I look at it again and again, even though I've got some confidence that this is the practice of our lives. When something like this comes up, when something like this pandemic and our sheltering at home come up, I have to revisit it, saying, is this the practice for saving all beings? Is this the practice for saving this being? And how is this sheltering at home our bodhisattva practice? So it's a question for me that's stayed alive. It doesn't have this one answer that I've landed on, saying I've figured that one out. Let me admit a few more people to our sit. More people are arriving. So I'm glad that this practice, that this question has stayed alive, and that I can open it up and apply this question time and again to this life that keeps appearing before us. And now this really unusual practice of sheltering in place. Like all koans, it's got a lot of layers to it. It doesn't just get figured out once, but more and more layers get added on. You know, there's an element of fear to the koan now. I want to save all beings, but how safe do I feel outside of this room, outside of this house? Do I really want to leave this house? Can I save all beings from within these walls? So these are the questions that I sit with this koan, and we've practiced with koans that way time and time again. We just keep sitting with them. We just keep asking ourselves the question. We look at different pieces of it. We look at the fear. We look at the fear one time. There we go. We look at the walls of the house another time. We do lots of sitting much of the time. So there's many aspects of working with this koan. Am I confident that this is the practice reflected on the world that saves all beings? Dogen was addressing our practice, our bodhisattva practice, I think, in the fascicle, The Moon, Tsuki. He says at the beginning, he quotes a Buddhist sutra, words of the Buddha. The Buddha's true Dharma body is like space, manifesting form in response to things. It is like the moon in water. Dogen really wants us to hear it in a slightly different way. He goes on to say, Dogen rephrases this stanza from a sutra. Buddha's true Dharma body, as it is empty sky. In response to things, forms appear. Thus is the moon in water. Dogen says that the true Dharma body, the Dharmakaya, is the as it is of the empty sky. The empty sky as it is Dharmakaya. Let me invite another couple of people in. That just think about as it is, accepting our life as it is completely is the body of Buddha, is the Dharmakaya, is our Buddha nature. The sitting just as it is, maybe my knees hurt, but just as it is, accepting that completely is the Dharmakaya. What he's pointing out is this practice of ours, this bodhisattva practice of ours, is letting go over and over again, letting go of our thoughts, our ideas, our judgment about the situation, and just accepting things completely as it is. And maybe we get a little ease out of finally surrendering completely to things as it is. And with that ease, then we respond to whatever is arising in front of us. Our response emerges to things. And our response is emerging from this Dharma body, this ease, this as it is. The ease, I took that from another koan that we looked at in the Sunday class. We step into this blue sky. We step into this empty sky, step after step. Wherever we go, we're always stepping into this blue sky. Usually with great ease. Usually we're not fearful of taking that next step, right into the blue sky, the blue sky of Pacific Avenue, the blue sky of the path leading to the Zendo, the blue sky of turning on to School Street. We usually do that with some ease. And when we're confident that every step is nothing but stepping into this blue sky, then we meet whatever appears before us with that ease. And out of that ease comes our response. Our response isn't coming from an idea about what would be a better situation, what would be a better world without a pandemic, what would be a better world without the recommendation to stay at home. We surrender. We right into the blue sky. In the Sunday class, Sarah offered us this koan of the two monks meeting. Ling, the monk Ling, asks her comrade, monk Fubei, what is your teaching? And Fubei just sits in silence. And Ling crosses her arms, maybe in indignation, but crosses her arms and says, but there's suffering going on right now in this blue sky. Ling is representing our bodhisattva practice of saving all beings. And her comrade Fubei keeps silent and wants us to remind us of our constantly being in the blue sky. And with the same determination to save all beings, Ling replies, to be human is to live in calamity. And that's our reflection. In the same way that the full moon just is nothing extra, but when presented with an atmosphere and with the light of the sun and with with a lake, a pond of water, the sun, the moon, responds with full round form on the water. When presented, how does the Buddha say it? Manifesting form in response to things. We see the form of the round moon in the nighttime water. Our Dharma body, when projected through this human body, finds itself in suffering and with that, the ease of our Dharma body, Ling invites us to address this calamity that we are. Was it Dogen who says that we're just one mistake after another? And Ling says this body is a calamity. And this body is, as Buddha says, nothing but the reflection of our true body manifested in response to what we find here in our conventional world. I think this is our Mahayana practice, that we all have to figure out how do I respond to the world? How do I liberate people from suffering in this world? Remembering, of course, our Buddha nature, our Dharma body, our true Dharma body. And can we really abide in that body moment after moment as we face this screen, as we face the news, people are coming. As we put on our masks and go to the store, can we remember the just being of the full moon, the as it is. Time and time again, surrendering to as it is. I brought a long poem that I want to get to before we end. And, but maybe there's, we can have a few comments. I've unmuted you all. there's somebody right now.
I just go to work. I just go and sit in my little store and people just show up. All.
Maybe I'll let people unmute themselves if they've got a comment. People are coming and going, and I'll be admitting them. Sandra.
Yes. When you were speaking of being with this situation as it is without judgment,
yes,
what immediately came to my mind was, I've heard this from more than one news source, that President Trump knew about the pandemic knew about COVID-19 months before anyone else, and he did nothing to prepare. And I don't know how to sit in acceptance of that without judgment. Can you help me with that?
Well, I would say that that the full moon is manifesting itself onto these very causes and conditions that include the response from Trump, that include the response from Governors Cuomo and Newsom, and the life as it is that great dance of all of that, and if we can, you know, then through our sitting and saying, you know, I don't want any hindrance. I want to be as open as I possibly can to this challenge. You know, can we finally say with our practice, with our sitting, you know, let me step forward into the blue sky with whatever appears before me, and I'll take this on with bodhisattva fearlessness. So that the responses from our government and from the governments in each state and from around the world are nothing but this human body that Ling reminds us is pretty much a calamity, and our bodhisattva practice is to take on those calamities. So that's what I would say to that. Like, at some point we just go, okay, I can do this. You know, this is what happened, and I can take this on as a fearless bodhisattva. Do you have any other thoughts about that?
Well, I don't have a problem with the fearlessness of taking it on. My problem is working with the judgment, letting go of the judgment. It's difficult. I mean, I don't think of it very often, but it was interesting. The moment you said letting go of judgments, that's what immediately came in my mind.
And then you just say, oh, that's where the juiciness in this call lies. Let me really look at judgment. Let me look at how I work with judgment.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden the koan is alive. Thank you. Another koan that I hadn't thought of in a long time is one that years ago Nettie talked about. Is she still here? I can't see her face offhand. Oh, there she is. That koan about, you know, there's a real jewel at the bottom of this river, and how can I get it without getting wet? That's my paraphrase. That's my memory. And that's what we have to do. That we have to sort of say, well, what's so bad about getting wet? Am I trying to create a world where there's no cold damp? This world that doesn't have fires, can I still practice with the jewel, completely wet, completely cold, completely hot? And that's our practice. That memory just came up today, Nettie. Mm-hmm. Jean.
I thought I'd like to offer a response to Sandra's question. It's a question that I also have had. And here's how I'm working with it. You know, sometimes for me, kind of refining my vocabulary helps. And so I find the state of being in judgment, in a judgmental mind, is a mind that is obstructed or has obstacles, you know, maybe some confusion. And if I, it's a kind of a, it sounds like a minor shift, but actually it's a major shift for me to enter the mind of discernment. If I enter the mind of discernment, I can find where my action can take place. But in the mind of judgment, I can't find an appropriate response.
Yes, it's helpful. Thank you.
And Jean, just so I'm clear, my vocabulary might not be so good. What discernment means? Questioning, being curious?
Yes, I think it's a sense of inquiry, definitely.
Inquiry.
And a sense of, maybe it's because I've been studying the Kanzeon translation so much, but mm-hmm. it's kind of like with the field of perception is wider and the field of perception is deeper in discernment than it can be in judgment, something mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Rosie, did you want to say something?
I wanted to say thank you for that exchange. And thank you, Jean. And of course, thank you, Patrick. This is very helpful to me, the judgment, discernment. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's take a look at this poem that was sent to me. Maybe a few of us can read it out loud, a few stanzas at a time. I'll attempt to share it on our screens. Can we all see this poem? Is it on
your
screens?
I can see it.
This was written in Italy just a few weeks ago by the poet Mariangela Gualtieri. And I thought it was very good. It has about 10 of these short stanzas. Maybe... Sandra, would you like to read like the first three of them out loud?
The first three stanzas?
Yeah, in English, of course.
Yes, thank you.
And, we'll have someone do a simultaneous translation, but it's, you could read that. And then someone else could chime in for the next three. I think it's quite nice and speaks to just what the life as it is.
I can only see two stanzas on my screen.
I'll scroll it down.
Okay.
How about Liz Milazzo reading the next two or three since she's Italian?
I'm part Italian.
Oh, excuse me.
I've actually lost it now, so bear with me.
Okay.
I hit something that made it disappear.
Interesting. You can still see it, Patrick.
Interesting. That is interesting. That's very interesting. Let me start over again. Now we're back. I want to do the scroll down. And now I will go There we are. Okay, Sandra, get away.
I'm telling you this. We needed to stop. We knew. We all felt it. That it was too furious, our frenzy, being inside of things, outside of ourselves, squeeze every hour, make it yield. We needed to stop and we couldn't. We needed to do it together, slow down the race, but we couldn't. There was no human force that could hold us back. And since this was for all of us a tactic wish, like an unconscious will, perhaps our species has obeyed, loosened the bonds that protect our seeds, opened the innermost cracks and let it in. Perhaps this is why there was a leap in the species, from the bat to us. Something in us wanted to be opened. Perhaps, I don't know. Now we are at home.
Anyone, please jump in.
It is extraordinary what is happening, and there is gold, I believe, in this. Oops, I'm. And there is gold, I believe, in this strange time. Perhaps there are gifts, nuggets of gold for us, if we help one another. There's a very strong call of species now, and as a species, we must each see ourselves. A common fate holds us here. We knew it, but not well enough. Either all of us or no one. The earth is powerful, truly alive. I feel it thinking a thought that we do not know. And with what's happening now, let us consider whether the earth is not what's moving. Whether the law that rules the entire universe, whether what's happening, I wonder, isn't the full expression of that law that governs us too, just like every star, every particle of the cosmos. Whether the dark matter was this, being bound together in an ardor for life, with the sweep of death that comes to rebalance every species, keep it within its dimensions, in its place, going in the right direction. It is not us who made heaven.
Would someone like to take over?
I will. It's Rosie. Wait a minute. Am I muted? An imposing voice without words tells us to stay home now, like children who are in trouble and don't know why and won't get kisses, won't be hugged, each within a suspension that takes us back. Perhaps to the slowness of ancient ancestors, of mothers. Look more at the sky. Daub a dead man ochre. Bake bread for the first time. Look intently at a face. Sing a child softly to sleep. For the first time, hold someone else's hand tight. Feel the strength of the agreement that we are together. A single organism, a whole species we carry within us. We are saving it inside us. To that grasp of a palm in another person's palm, to that simple act that we are now forbidden, we will return with expanded awareness. We'll be here, more attentive, I think. Our hand will be more delicate in the doing of life. Now that we know how sad it is to stand 1 meter apart.
A friend sent that, and I really liked it. The idea that maybe we were ready for something, to really make some changes. In the last line here, I certainly don't speak Italian. I just look back and forth. But it, when it says here, our hand will be more delicate in the doing of life. The word that they use for doing there is the same word that they use for baking bread. So like Dogen says, cooking our life. Maybe we'll cook our life a little more delicately when the doors are open and we're back meeting each other face to face, touching each other's palms. So I really appreciated this poem.